Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 17, 2017. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, the updated WWE Royal Rumble lineup. You can also vote in six different categories now in our .net awards poll for 2016. Today is the best wrestler of 2016, but you can still go back and vote in our previous categories. We have three more categories that are going to open this week, and then we will announce the winners next week along with the staff comments. Coming up after the break for non-members, we will discuss the way WWE handled Kurt Angle's induction into the WWE Hall of Fame, or at least the announcement. Plus, we'll get into the SmackDown Live television show 205 Live, last night's WWE Raw, and I will have my bonus thoughts on last night's Raw in addition to the WWE Raw hit list. WWE worked with ESPN by having them break the news that Kurt Angle is the headliner of the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2017. First off, Angle, certainly a worthy entrant, a great headliner in a year where we weren't exactly sure what WWE was going to do with that slot. Like, was it going to be Goldberg if he really was a one and done? Well, that clearly isn't happening. Undertaker, you wouldn't want to rush into that. And I think it's just a good move by WWE. I think it's great that Kurt is returning to the company after all these years. He can still clearly wrestle. He has dates on the indie scene. But he did say in an interview with ESPN that his focus is on the Hall of Fame, and they have not discussed anything in-ring at this point. The big question mark, I think, remains obviously whether he can pass their medical exam, if they even want to bring him back to the ring at this point. You know, he's put a lot of mileage on the body, and so there's just no really telling how that would go. If he's physically up for it, if he gets medical clearance, I'd love to see him have one more match in WWE, but I think only time is going to tell on that one. Now, having said that, I think the big issue I have with WWE is the way they roll out these Hall of Fame announcements now. There was a time when you looked forward to watching Raw. There was some mystery there, as far as who the Hall of Fame entrant was. And WWE clearly now thinks it's a big deal to have ESPN or Sports Illustrated or, just different outlets. I think Rolling Stone, they've had different people, different outlets, be the first to break the Hall of Fame news. But I got to say, I don't think it's worth it. Because imagine the buzz that would have come out, that would have been created yesterday, had the company announced that they were going to be naming the headliner for the Hall of Fame on Monday's Raw. They didn't tell you in advance. Some people may have guessed Angle, but there was no way of knowing for sure. And I missed this approach because really Raw, at this point especially, would benefit from, in terms of ratings, just overall buzz, if WWE hyped in advance that they were going to make this big announcement. And instead, they just give it away a few hours before the show and hope that people get excited because of whatever buzz it gets when it's announced and want to tune in to see the video package. I'm sorry, but it's very anticlimactic, and I think it's counterproductive. Now, if they want to work with the mainstream media outlets, that's great. Here's the trick, though. Why not get together with them ahead of time, as they already are, clearly, and grant them first dibs on an interview with whoever is going into the Hall of Fame? Go ahead and get that all done. Place the embargo on the interview until right after Raw. And they could even go so far as to announce during Raw that the first interview with that person would be available on that media outlet's website. And this way, WWE would be able to have something that would generate interest for Raw going into the show by announcing the Hall of, the next Hall of Famer is going to be introduced as they once did. And then the outlet, I think, would get, they'd get obviously a mention from WWE as they do now. But I think they'd even generate more traffic to their story than they do now for breaking the news. Let's be real. WWE just follows up with a press release moments later in most cases anyway, as they did yesterday. So, I mean, yeah, it's WWE can still be affiliated with these outlets, still promote them and get something in return for it. But more importantly, they'd give themselves a hook for Raw that's just missing a lot of weeks. I can't understand why they approach it the way they do when there's an alternative that would give them the best of both worlds. A WWE SmackDown Live tonight should be an interesting show. We have Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch meeting in a cage match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. WWE now officially advertising. They didn't announce it on Raw, but it is official. Jerry Lawler, he was the first to announce, and now WWE is confirming it, that he will be hosting a King's Court talk show segment. WWE has since confirmed that Dolph Ziggler will be his special guest. This is for the television show. It is not just for Lawler's hometown crowd in Memphis. And I guess, spoiler warning, skip ahead. I'll try to keep it quick here. But I'll just tell you while you, in case you're scrambling, that you can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown. He missed last week due to illness, but he is back tonight. Join him at 7 Central, 8 Eastern. All right, you've been warned about the spoiler. Hopefully you've skipped ahead just a little bit to avoid this. Mickey James expected to appear on the show. She is backstage and expected to be returning in a prominent role. Will it be as La Luchadora? Will she be revealed? That would be my guess. And by the way, that's been reported elsewhere first, but we've been able to confirm that as well. Just wanted to sneak that in so nobody's accusing us of lifting anything. We've certainly been able to confirm that independently. Okay, if you skipped ahead, I tried to do it quickly. But meanwhile, 205 Live, headlined by Jack Gallagher against Arya Daivari in an I Forfeit match, which is basically an I Quit match, but I think it just kind of has a different name because they're playing up the extraordinary gentleman aspect of Jack Gallagher's character. The idea is that this is a blow-off match. Either way, no matter who wins, this is it. The loser has to just accept it and they move on. We'll see if they follow through on that part of it. WWE, SmackDown really drags out feuds. 205 Live is just the feuds that they launched in the beginning are pretty much the same. I guess they've kind of inserted Neville. But this has been going on a while. I hope they do live up to it. I think it is time to kind of move forward. But either way, you can join me for live coverage of 205 Live after SmackDown tonight at .net. Hey, .net members are listening to my full audio review of last night's WWE Raw and a 49-minute edition of the Q&A audio show where I answer their pro wrestling questions to start and we have some fun on the backside of things. The members are also going to be hearing a new .net weekly audio show on Wednesday, tomorrow. Jake Barnett and I are going to get together and discuss all the news of the week. We will certainly have the Royal Rumble match discussion and Royal Rumble pay-per-view discussion. Look ahead to WrestleMania a little bit. And then we're going to have some behind-the-scenes notes on TNA as well. So you can join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net to access all of our audio content that we've ever recorded. It is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, as I mentioned. All you have to do is visit the main page. Once you're there, you will see the sign-up area at ProWrestling.net. Once you get in there, you'll find three different pricing options. $7.50 will get you in the door for 1 month. You can save the most amount of money by taking the annual option, which knocks $2 off the price each month, bringing it down to an average of $5.50 per month. As I like to do on Mondays, let's get into my WWE Raw hit list. We start with the main event, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, and Braun Strowman. We're starting with the hits. Any combination of Reigns and Rollins working tag or singles matches with Owens and Jericho has been run into the ground as a Raw match at this point. But I gotta admit, I do like the shark cage dynamic for the title match at the Rumble. But the addition of Zayn and Strowman to this made it feel fresh. The long six-man tag main event was highly entertaining, and I loved the way the live crowd bought into Sami Zayn's high cross body block near fall on Braun Strowman just moments before Strowman regrouped and pinned Zayn. The post-match brawl was terrific, and it was nice to see Kevin Owens look like a credible heel again rather than one half of a comedy duo by powerbombing Roman Reigns through the broadcast table on the stage. The next hit is Brock Lesnar in the opening segment. Once we got through the usual occurrence of Roman Reigns' promo being interrupted, things picked up in a big way with WWE delivering terrific hype for the star power of this year's Royal Rumble match. They did a great job of showcasing some of the potential showdowns that could occur during the Rumble, and Lesnar was back in badass mode as he stood tall at the end of the segment. The next hit is Bayley. I didn't include Charlotte in the hit, because the long setup for Bayley was necessary, yet it also went too long and seemed to fall flat with the live crowd. Perhaps it would have come off better if Charlotte's promo had been delivered in a pre-tape setting, and they then went to Bayley calling her out to deliver her response afterward in the ring. Either way, this is the first time that WWE has effectively showcased a Bayley character as the longtime fangirl living her dream since she first arrived on the main roster. She came off as a woman of the people, and someone who younger fans can easily identify with. This was the best work WWE has done with Bayley since she debuted. The next hit is the tag title match, Sheamus and Cesaro against Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows. A dusty finish that resulted in the heels seemingly winning the tag titles only to have them taken away. WWE kind of reversed the usual formula of the babyfaces getting the shaft, and while it was awkward, it was also effective in terms of breathing some life into the feud. Most importantly, the work of the wrestlers in the tag match and the crowd's favorable reaction also helped heat things up. The next hit is Neville attacking Rich Swann. Just when viewers were settling in for Tony Nese's latest loss, or reaching for the remote, the Neville attack occurred out of nowhere. Neville it was just terrific as the ultra-aggressive heel. He's so good that I wish someone in power would realize that he doesn't need the silly anti-American portion of the gimmick. Everything else about him is intense and believable, but there's just a moment of disconnect wherever he goes into that whole cliche shtick. The next hit is Nia Jax against Sasha Banks. It was cool to see WWE take an unconventional approach with the setting of this. Jax attacking Sasha as she was running through drills for the medical team made this stand out more than it would have had the same type of attack occurred during a regular segment on the show. Next hit is Cedric Alexander and Brian Kendrick, and it's a minor one. The Alicia Fox love triangle saga still feels unnecessary for Alexander, but I gotta confess, it's compelling enough that I find myself curious to see where it goes next. On the flip side, though, why did the referee just watch Alicia Fox push the rope towards Cedric Alexander to help him break Kendrick's submission hold and then do nothing about it? Also, Fox flipping out in such an over-the-top manner is probably the corniest thing on WWE television these days. Final hit is the overall show. I think it's been a while since we've had this. Most of the misses were of the minor variety, and WWE did a tremendous job of selling the Royal Rumble match. I look forward to the Rumble match every year, but there's an extra feeling of intrigue and importance this year due to the number of stars in the match. At this point, I don't have a strong feeling about who will actually win the Rumble, and I just hope they don't blow it by foreshadowing the winner during go-home week. And now we are into the WWE Raw Misses section, and we will start with the Jimmy Snuka tribute. As I mentioned prior to the show in members' audio on Monday, I would have simply aired the tribute graphic acknowledging his death and left it at that. Instead, WWE delivered one of their longer tributes, and they did so for a man who was charged with third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter in the 1983 death of his girlfriend Nancy Argentino. Defenders are going to be quick to point out that Snuka was never convicted. However, the judge dismissed the charges only because Snuka was deemed incompetent to stand trial, not because he was found not guilty. By airing the graphic, the long video tribute, and then the montage of social media posts from WWE personnel regarding his death, WWE needlessly opened themselves up to criticism when a simple acknowledgement of his death would have been accepted by the masses and felt sufficient and responsible given the circumstances. And while everyone is entitled to their own opinion on the matter, please spare me any comments about how the tribute is understandable simply because Snuka has family working for the company. While I do offer my sincere condolences to the Snuka family for their loss, stop and ask yourselves how the Argentino family would feel if they watched that glowing tribute. And now we move into a little bit, as far as the misses are concerned. Aria Davari and Lince Dorado. The miss is really just due to the lack of time the match received. I got clocked in at about 2 minutes. To the credit of the wrestlers, they made the most of it with Dorado hitting that cool stunner, and then they had Davari scramble to establish the Cobra Clutch as his submission hold, presumably because he's having that eye forfeit match on 205 Live tonight. WWE seems to be missing the boat with Dorado. He's positioned as an enhancement wrestler, yet he always seems to get a rise out of the crowd with his flashy offense, which leaves me wondering what would happen if they actually spotlighted the guy. The next miss is Enzo Amore and Big Cass against Rusev and Jinder Mahal. WWE spent so much time putting heat on the heel duo, yet the babyface duo just beat them clean. Perhaps the heels will get their heat back, hopefully without another visit to the sensitivity training seminar. But it just felt a little awkward to see the babyfaces win so decisively at this point in their feud. Hey, more on that in a little bit. The final miss of the day is New Day and Titus O'Neil. This was the least annoying of their recent skits, but it's still a minor miss. The Titus character is just so annoying these days that I didn't even object when Big E put his spot in the Royal Rumble match on the line in exchange for a simple promise that Titus would stop bothering them. That is your WWE Raw hit list for this week. Now for some bonus thoughts. I think maybe one of the big things that I haven't really heard too many people talking about as far as one of the pluses of this show, no authority figures. Is it really a coincidence that this was one of the better shows in recent memory, yet Stephanie McMahon and, to a lesser extent, Mick Foley were not present? Look, I'm all for using Foley for, like tonight, Shane McMahon doing the big announcement to open SmackDown. You know, something like that with Mick Foley. It doesn't have to be just only special occasions. You can have him present. You can work him in. And there's even going to be times where, you know, occasional storylines that kind of take advantage of his ability along with his passion for the product and his passion for some of the upcoming wrestlers. He definitely enjoys that part of it. But the Stephanie character, tired, overbearing, obnoxious, was not missed in any way. Another week of Raw, and as I mentioned, I don't feel like they foreshadowed the Royal Rumble winner yet. They definitely seem to be foreshadowing more with Undertaker and Braun Strowman, though. Brian Fritz of Between the Ropes, and you can find him at Brian Fritz, but our buddy of BetweenTheRopes.com. I noticed he pointed out on Twitter last night, this was something I didn't pick up on initially, that Braun Strowman's lines about going where he wants and when he wants were basically the same words used by Undertaker the week before. Was this lazy writing or very much intentional? My guess is intentional, but I guess we'll find out. With Shane opening SmackDown tonight with the big announcement, I doubt it's this. Here's hoping it's Rusev and Lana have been traded to SmackDown. Again, I don't think that's what this is going to be, but it would explain the decisive loss that he and Jinder Mahal had last night. Rusev, we've talked about it a million times. He's a comedy figure on Raw, and he's good at it. But I really think the SmackDown creative team would reposition him as a monster and, make money with the guy again, because I don't think Rusev as a comedy figure is slotted properly. He's just not. Now, again, no real indication this is happening, so just kind of fantasy booking on my end. But I guess if I were going to send someone back to Raw in return, you can't just make it a completely lopsided trade. How about Randy Orton and they just move on from the awkward Wyatt family drama? I doubt that's going to happen because I think they're, that they have something in mind. I don't think they're ready to pull the plug on that. But Orton, he's not doing much on SmackDown anyway, and he'd be fine on Raw. Now I know they're going to need some baby faces and things like that on the SmackDown side, but hey, if AJ Styles is turning babyface at some point in the near future, Rusev would be a nice opponent for him at some point as well. But again, I have no idea what that big announcement is going to be tonight. The huge announcement that Shane McMahon is going to open the show with, I guess we will have to find out. Hey, finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. It really does help spread the word about the site when you take a moment to do that. Give the podcast a quick retweet when I run the link on our Twitter feed at ProWrestlingNet. Thank you to everybody who has already done one or both of those things. I really appreciate it. And I will be back tomorrow. Again, let's see here. Barring something breaking, will it be SmackDown? Will it be 205 Live? I guess you'll have to tune in to find out. I honestly don't know. I'm not trying to leave with a cliffhanger. We'll find out. I'll figure it out, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, take care.